All right, my friends, welcome. New episode of Goma Luka Podcast. This is day 8 of the COP28 Climate Summit over here in Dubai.
This is the Goma Luka Podcast.
Let me walk you through the events of the day and also explain to you where I am. Behind me, you'll see the media center. Previous episodes were at the picnic bench or outside of the IPO office. So I thought I'd record this one over here at the media center. It's right now it's 10:30 p.m. and the global stock take is ongoing at the heads of delegation level. So that's why I have these headphones in. So whilst I'm updating you on the events of the day and a little bit of where we are, the current state of play, I'm also listening to the parties bringing forward the first reflections of the new text of the global stock take. So whilst I'm updating you, I'm listening to this. But let me bring you back a little bit to where we are right now. This is day 8. So this is CMA level. Before, the first week of COP is on a CEPSA level. So mostly technical, and this week is mostly political. So CMA, so the assembly of the parties to the Paris Agreement, they are now going to decide what to do with the texts that are on the table. Relevant for this conversation that we're having right now is Article 6.2, 6.4, and 6.8. As well as the global stock take, which is like the big enchilada, I might say. And Article 6 is a burrito. It's not a taco, but it's a burrito. So to give you a brief rundown, so there were like several, one scheduled bilateral was held this morning before we had indigenous people's coordinating session or Indigenous People's Caucus gathered, assessed a little bit all the events of the day, and then also the current updates on the negotiating streams. And then obviously there was quite a number of events that were scheduled for today. Let me kick off with Article 6, like I said, and global stock take. I'll go back into it at a later point. The first meeting that was held was quite interesting. Is Article 6.4. Now, as you know, 6.4 is the Sustainable Development Mechanism, or also like the work of the supervisory body. And so it's for quite a number of countries. Their positions have not changed since last week. There was a lot of concerns about the recommendations that the 6.4 supervisory body has laid forward in terms of removals. The views were of the parties were like very diverse. So that caused the parties not to, you didn't see any bridging proposals. That's what they call it. So there was not like, all right, this is where you are, this is where I am. What is the middle ground? Like, so that's what they call a bridging proposal. You did not see those being tabled when there were these negotiations. What you also see is that parties were like super interested in operationalizing, so launching the 6.4 mechanism. For example, United States says, they see no value in opening up the document. We're late as it is, because last year in Egypt, the CMA kicked back the recommendations on removals back to the supervisory body. So this is like they want to prevent like a replay of the scenario of Egypt. There's not just the United States, but there were a number of parties that said, you know what, let's conclude, operationalize, and then, we fine-tune as we go. So it is almost like instead of let's say Ford or Tesla, you know, like as building cars in a factory, and what you expect is that this car comes out of this factory, like, first of all, brand spanking new, but also like it works, everything is in place, so it's not missing a wheel, not missing a windshield, like it has all the features that it needs to have. From an indigenous people's point of view, like, that's the most ideal case, you know. So if when it comes to removals, they need to be like strong human rights based guidelines in there. There needs to be a sustainable development tool, and there needs to be an appeals and grievance mechanism. Those are like the windshield, the gear, and I don't know, the one of the wheels and a steering wheel before you like let the car exit the factory and, you know, like drive it around town. That's what the indigenous people are saying, and the vast majority of civil society organizations as well. States have a different view. They want to launch as soon as possible, and you probably, if you're listening to this update, then probably you have seen myself and Tomo and others talk about this already. But there's a divergence of views, right? So there are some parties say like, hey, launch right now. Other parties say like, well, let us think about it for a wee bit, and then we'll not think about it, but like let's kick it back to supervisory body, let them work it out, and then we come back to it. Which is, to the vast majority of parties, is not an option. Like, they really want to. If you go through all the views of parties that have been shared in the negotiation, like, everyone wants to not go backwards. Everyone wants to move forwards. So that kind of informs our position, not our position, but our strategy a little bit. Like I said, in the previous daily debriefs, like, we have a bandwidth. What is the best possible outcome, and what is the best acceptable outcome? So like you start to move a little bit from the best possible one to the best acceptable one. So you do see all these countries sharing their views, and from indigenous people's point of view, like it's super important that all the governance elements are in place. Now, when it comes to there are parties and groups of parties, and by groups of parties I mean like there's G77 plus China, the European Union, AOSIS, ILAC, Umbrella Group, LMDCs, like all these groups, they take the floor, and you start to see like, all right, so where are we in which direction are we moving in terms of negotiations? First of all, movement is not really going fast. That's for sure. So that's in terms of 6.4, and then it's also interesting, like, what are some individual countries saying? Bolivia took the floor. So Bolivia said, you know, and Bolivia really wanted to have like a balance between a market approach and a non-market approach. Market approach is 6.4, and a non-market approach is 6.8. So the whole idea was that it would be 50-50. They would be treated equally. In the view of Bolivia, and to be honest, like it's a thing they're onto something, is that it's not in balance. It's not 50-50. It's more like 80-20. So 80% market approach, 20% non-market approach. So that's like, well, there needs to be a little bit more emphasis on non-market approaches. The balance that was promised is broken. And they were very clear that a market-based approach is not a solution to solve the climate crisis. So you can imagine that a lot of civil society organizations and climate justice activists, they were like rooting for Bolivia at that point. So what did Bolivia do? They put a bracket on the text. So what a bracket on a text means is that, well, it's not even like a word, but the entire text is in brackets. So the entire text is under discussion. And which is a signal. Is a signal that they're not fine with it. And they want something in return. This is like one country's opinion. So some friends texted me like, "Hey, Bolivia, great. Let's see how we can support it." And my first response was, "Well, let's see how LNDCs looks at this." Bolivia is part of this group or this bloc, the like-minded development countries. So what I was expecting was an LNDCs to come forward to support it, because the last thing they want to do is like go against Bolivia. What I expected was them to be supportive to a certain extent, and which they did. They supported the brackets on 6.4, but not for the reason that Bolivia brought forward. LMDC said, "Hey, you know, like let's move forward. We've been working in good faith, yeah, and we're not seeing the progress that was promised to us." So, yes, we support the brackets that Bolivia wanted to see. So, which is interesting, right? So that opened up the whole conversation, and we're looking at the next couple of days. Actually, next 24 hours, actually, hopefully to see some movement on issues. So that's 6.4 in terms of the Sustainable Development Mechanism. 6.2 is about reporting, is about authorization, the registry of these ITMOs or carbon credits. And you did see some interesting views from parties, which to me sounded like, well, these are the same views, they're just reiterating it. But from an indigenous people's point of view, they are important. ILAC again reiterated that, like, we focus on a cooperative approach, environmental integrity is super important, and human rights is super important. The group of Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay, they said that one of the main priorities is human rights and the rights of indigenous people. So that's good, you know, for airtime is good when it comes to these negotiations. New Zealand obviously took the floor as well, but mostly on the details, the technicalities. Article 6 is a super technical process, negotiation, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of indigenous people are zoning out when it comes to that. So it is an interesting development when it comes to 6.2 that parties are still reiterating the positions, but they're not coming together. As you also see under, for example, 6.8, that conversation is about, first of all, it's about the web-based platform. All right, you know, like it's we've seen it. It's like an online portal, fine. But then when it comes to the work of the Glasgow Committee on Non-Market Approaches, it is for indigenous peoples super important that we have a role to play. Now, you can rock on up to those meetings, but it's much better if there's a direct reference to indigenous peoples in the text. There is a reference to the local communities and indigenous peoples platform in the text, that the Glasgow Committee on Non-Market Approaches will invite the LCIP or the FWG to one of these workshops for presentation or participation. Now, indigenous peoples have always said, there's within the UNFCCC, you have the Indigenous Peoples Caucus, which is like the negotiating arm of indigenous peoples, and you have the LCIP, which is solely focused on traditional knowledge, and cannot possibly represent the views of all indigenous peoples, because it is a body, a constituted body that is made up of member states as well as indigenous peoples. The caucus, however, is not has not, it's not tunnel vision, or it's not a zoom. It's not a zoom lens. It is a wide angle lens. It covers everything. So it is important that Indigenous peoples or the caucus are able to participate or get an invitation to participate in the work of the Glasgow Committee on Non-Market Approaches. So that is something that we wanted to see into the text, and we're pushing for it. There's a reference into it in the text. It's in brackets, and so we'll keep having conversation with parties to remove those brackets in a way that it actually does not undermine the rights and the participation of Indigenous peoples. And then there's obviously, and what we talked about is the local knowledge, quote unquote. You know, it's there's multiple references to local knowledge, and that's a problem. Not only what in the world is local knowledge, but it appears in different processes. Global stocktake, adaptation, or global goal on adaptation, agriculture. So that's a word. Local knowledge is something that it's not in Paris. And what I mean with it's not in Paris is not in the Paris Agreement. And quite a number of member states always say is that when it comes to concepts, stick to Paris. Do not introduce new concepts. Because Paris is what we know, Paris is agreed language, and the new concept is not. So in the conversation that we have, it says, all right, local knowledge, we don't know what it is. Indigenous people's knowledge, we do know what it is. So if you want to include local knowledge or a variety of some variation of that, look at the Paris Agreement. The thing is, ideally, from an Indigenous people's point of view, like, only talk about Indigenous people's knowledge because, well, local communities are not a constituency within the UNFCCC, so why would you also refer to local knowledge? However, there are parties that are at the table that have an issue with not including local communities, so, and that's something that we have to work with. So as what we do then, you know, Indigenous people's over here, other parties over there, and our bridging proposal is make a reference to the Paris Agreement, Article 7, Paragraph 5, which talks about traditional knowledge, comma, knowledge of Indigenous peoples and local knowledge systems. There should be a comma, though, between knowledge of Indigenous peoples and local knowledge systems to make it very clear that there's a distinction. A comma makes a world of a difference within these spaces. So that is what we're working with, and just to let you know, the caucus itself is starting to prepare a position on local communities and Indigenous peoples, particularly the separation of it, to ensure that the rights of Indigenous peoples are not watered down because local communities are attached to it. So the caucus is working on that, and yeah, as a negotiating team on Article 6, we have got given the go ahead to advocate for local knowledge to be changed to local knowledge systems. So those are things that we're working with, and then obviously like I said, like the big enchilada is the global stocktake. And that is something that, you probably hear on December 12th or 13th, I assume, about in the news. It is a key event under the Paris Agreement. It is what it does. Every 5 years, so every 5 years, countries will review their climate change actions. As a collective, not individually, but as a collective. So you can imagine that this is also a negotiation. It is not like an honest, holistic view of everything. It's an actual negotiation. So that's why I was listening to the first meeting of it under the CMA. So what the global stocktake, what it tries to do is like, all right, so how... let me start with what it's going to focus on. So what a global stocktake is trying to do is like, well, first of all, lower greenhouse gases, lower emissions, adapting to climate change. That's what it's trying to do. And yeah, like help each other in all the climate efforts. So basically what it is that you have all these negotiating streams and it goes into one list, in the stock tick list. Loss and damage is included in there. Cooperative approaches, which includes Article 6, is in there. Adaptation is in there. Cross-cutting issues, context, like 1.5 degrees, is in that text as well. So it's a long list of over 200 paragraphs. That basically takes stock of the progress or lack of progress that the parties are making. So what it tries to do is like to see like, are we effective in implementing Paris? Yes or no? And if not, what are the gaps and how we can fill them? What are the areas that we can improve on? You know, like what are the things that like, we've seen, all right, we need to do better at that. And also like, what are the better strategies to beyond Paris? So for example, include oceans in there, or mountain. There was some mountain strategy in there as well. Who is it for? Particularly parties, but in the text you will see indigenous peoples. There was a mention of the private sector, definitely civil society groups, and other stakeholders as well. So it's like a checkup, you know, like when you go to a doctor, like to your dentist for every 6 months. Well, this is like on a global scale, but on climate change for 5 years. So because they had like several iterations or several drafts of the text, so this afternoon a new text came out. So from these people's point of view, it's like, all right, let's gather all these heads of not heads, but like. People that lead the work streams and see like, all right, so what, let's go through the text and come up with some key asks or recommendations to tweak the text. It is very difficult to include new concepts. So like you work with what you have. So it's, you have a text, all right, add one tiny word in there or a comma, or like that's the type of wordsmithing that we're doing when it comes to global stock tech, unless there's a huge issue that goes against the rights of indigenous peoples and against Paris Agreement. Then we'll push in for a new concept. But so far it is about massaging the words and adding commas and words in there that make so that the paragraph makes sense and is aligned with the rights and the priorities of indigenous peoples. Over 200 paragraphs came out in the latest draft. And so this afternoon we worked with the previous draft, and then we had a position paper, kind of, and then this evening a new draft came out. So you have to like compare one with the other, and then like see like, all right, so what are the gaps? So what changed? Like, so you go from 13 references to indigenous peoples to 9 references, direct references to indigenous peoples. But there's also like references that to human rights that should be in there, but they're not in there, you know? And so 200 paragraphs, you have to go point by point by point by point by point, like a surgeon. You have to like really like dissect them. And all right, so, and there are options. So which one is better? One option, 1, 2, or 3? Option 3 has indigenous peoples in there, but the text is murky. Option 2 is better, but it doesn't have indigenous peoples in there. So what do you do? So my recommendation was, all right, so option 3 has indigenous peoples, however, option 2 is better. So add some words like comma indigenous peoples in there so that it covers indigenous peoples. And the reasoning behind it is if you have 3 options, there's already an appetite to include indigenous peoples or make a reference to indigenous peoples. So that's how, so the way I see it is that it's not harmless, but it's would do no harm to include those to reference in to indigenous people, for example, in option 2. So those are the things that you do, like in 200 paragraphs, you go through them, and then parallel to that, so you just finish it with that, and then you listen into the global stock take, and yeah, you take notes of like, what does EU say, what does Russia say, what does Iran, say, Canada, Fiji, India, Ecuador, like Philippines, all those countries, and you listen to keywords. You have a list of keywords that I have here on my screen that I listen to, because like there's no way that you can possibly pay attention to everything that these parties say or make sense of it. So you listen to keywords and then you write them down, because that helps in the messaging. Hey, I want human rights in article or in paragraph 55, for example. But you need to talk to Russia. So what did you say to Russia? Well, you go to the notes, and Lord, this is what Russia said about aligning with the Paris Agreement. All right, so boom. You, in terms of messaging, you say, all right, when you approach Russia, for example, say, well, paragraph 55 needs to be changed in this way so that it becomes in line with the Paris Agreement. So those are the things actually that you do when it comes to the lobbying, advocacy, when it comes to the negotiations. So that is, it's now 11 p.m. and that is basically what the work is and the entire day. There was a side event of fisheries that I moderated and was about indigenous people's experiences with small scale fisheries and the need to have it included as a into the UNFCCC conversations. For example, just talk about agriculture, but what about small scale fisheries? It is super important. And also that we came to learn that that the fisheries industry, like the big gigantic fishing trawlers and all that stuff, it behaves like an extractive industry. You know, so there is a need for having and because of the turnout of people that joined that side event, there's a need to have like a robust conversation about small scale fisheries into the conversation over here at the UNFCCC, particularly, or in the context of agriculture, maybe that should be expanded or have a negotiation stream of its own. You don't know, but that is what these side events are for as well. So I moderated that side event, and so the entire day was like going from meeting to meeting to meeting. So, and before you know it, it's 11 p.m. and you're doing a daily debrief. So that is in very encapsulated nutshell version of what happened today. Tomorrow, obviously, there will be continued negotiations. There's a hard stop that the COP presidency has given to Article 6. Usually Article 6 gets a little bit more leeway. COP presidency has said, no, tomorrow 3 p.m. is your deadline. So we can expect crunch time for negotiators tonight and tomorrow. I'm looking forward to updating you on the developments on Article 6, Global Stocktake, Loss and Damage maybe as well, at tomorrow's daily debrief. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
My friends, you can now also listen to the Go Maluku podcast on Spotify. Listen while you use other apps or do other things. If you don't have Spotify, just open your Apple or Google Podcast or your favorite podcasting app and search for the Go Maluku podcast.